Self-care. It's such a deep, layered word, and for me, it's really become the process of getting to know yourself, showing up for yourself over and over again. In creation of the Self-Care Creature podcast, I want to teach you, too, how to have a relationship with yourself. We're going to dive into the psychological and physiological unfoldings of adopting what I love to call a self-care lifestyle. This podcast is here to help you, the stressed out but spiritually minded individual who can feel that wild calling in your heart, who wants to develop self-care rituals to support your daily living, give you the confidence and know-how to live through your intuition and raise your self-worth. You deserve it. You are capable of this. And I want to help you understand how the hell to get there, what it actually means, and how do you actually live it. That's where my intention is with this podcast. The Self-Care Creature Podcast, brought to you by me, your host, Courtney Klopp. Let's dive in. Well, hello there. Today we are going to be talking about Oracle cards, also known as goddess cards, angel cards, or what I used to refer them as, and they are known as guidance cards. But oracle cards or guidance cards is how we will interchangeably use those terms today. I'm really excited to talk to you about this. It's something that I honestly never thought I'd be in this position of, and I am ecstatic that so many of you in my community have been asking, well, what are guidance cards? Or especially sharing that you do use them too and wanting to know more about my process and how I use them. And it's just come to light for me very recently to have to take a step back and realize, oh, I have been using these cards for going on 6 years, and they have played a huge, huge role in my trust in the universe and just tapping into my own innate intelligence, the larger intelligence of the world, the universe, spirit, soul, whatever, nature, whatever you feel comfortable determining that as. And yeah, I'm just really excited to dive in a little bit more about it. And no coincidence that I just happened to be sitting down to record this for you guys on a full moon. Feels super auspicious. And I recognize that I'm using the word auspicious so much this year. It's like if there was a word of the year for me, it would be auspicious. And I am the type of person that I regularly Google definitions to make sure that I'm using a word properly. And I just had to go back and be like, okay, what does auspicious mean again exactly? Well, if you didn't know, it's an adjective and it means conducive to success or favorable. Also giving or being a sign of future success. Also characterized by success and a prosperous time. For me, when I say auspicious, I just mean that it's been a very eerily, like, synchronistic type year for me where I feel more in tune with myself and with the universe and all of these signs and magic that is alive in our life this year. It's like I'm really waking up to that, and it's really exciting. Not that I haven't been awake to it before, but it comes and goes in cycles as we come back to ourselves continuously, because this self-care lifestyle and this getting to know ourselves better, again, it comes in patterns. Oftentimes that we are on the track and we're like, we're in it to win it and we're gonna get it. And then we veer off course and all of a sudden find ourselves in a rabbit hole of, you know, those old familiar habits and relationships and things like that until suddenly we're like, well, actually I really enjoyed, you know, doing all that shit with myself. So I'm gonna go back to that. And it's just this ebb and flow that always happens. And I just say, you can't get upset with yourself when you veer, quote unquote, off the path. Everything is the path. You just have to allow yourself to continue to come back to support yourself. And the more that you allow yourself to do that in your own time, because you have to recognize when there's also resistances, you eventually will just want to show up for yourself more and more. That's the way it happens. But don't expect it to happen right off the bat. You can get excited, but you're likely going to also get unexcited at some point. So again, the ebb and the flow. I'll talk about that a lot in these episodes. So I honestly don't even really remember the first time that I really started hearing about oracle cards. I've heard them used a lot as angel cards and goddess cards, and especially in the beginning of back in 2013 or earlier, when I kind of started hearing about these things, I was insanely turned off by religion. Any term, angel, god, goddess, anything like that. I'm like, no. Just completely shut me down and turned me in the other direction. Now I'm in a place where I'm like, wow, this stuff is really interesting and I want to know more. I'm not in a place where I know what that shit is quite yet. So I don't remember exactly how I came about getting to know what the cards are, how they came into my life. All I know is that during the stint of time from 2014 to 2015, when I spent 9 months traveling down through Mexico and Central America, I met a beautiful friend, Sandy, and she is a light worker and an energy worker and a healer, and she does Akashic Record meditations, which is past life meditations, and Reiki type things, and just totally expanded my world into all this stuff that I was very curious about but knew nothing about and had no experience with. And she was telling me about oracle cards, and I happened to be in Guadalajara when I was like, I want to get a deck. And the person that I was couch surfing with, if you haven't heard of couchsurfing.com, that's a cool way to kind of get around when you're traveling. So the couch surfer host that I was staying with, Raul, took me and my friend Ryan for a walk, a long walk. I remember it felt like forever to finally get to this shop, and I picked out my first deck. And literally since the first time, from the first card I drew, I felt shivers, and there was just like some coincidences, like whatever. I don't remember specifically what the card was and what I was reading about, but I remember feeling like it jived with exactly where I was at in my life in that moment, in that city, in that time. And in the beginning, I was insanely skeptical. I was just like, okay, this is kind of weird. This kind of stuff's happening. But then it's been the unfolding over the last 6 years where I've recognized, okay, the more these synchronicities come up, the more it is a sign that I am on my life's path, and I need to follow more, keep awake and aware and receptive to what these signs are and these synchronicities so that I can continue to follow them. And that just unfolds more on the path as well. And maybe another episode we can talk about synchronicities in and of themselves. I'll make a little note of that. That is how I started using them. And since then, that was my first deck I bought in 2014. And since then, I have bought a handful of other decks. The next deck I bought, I believe, was in 2015. And I think I have about 6 decks now. And I am definitely recognizing that I have a tendency to just want to get all the decks. And a friend of mine, Brittany, I know you're out there, she was like, I have a basket of decks. When I was like, I don't know if I, when I was with her once and I was like, I don't know if I should get this. And I guess the thing is that for me, it's a fine line of just wanting all the decks and wanting to have fun. And they all have different meanings and themes that come up and that you can use them for in ways that they resonate with you. But for me, I know myself, I tend to take on too much, and then I can't give attention to the things that I want to. And that's like big picture stuff in my life, as well as just these cards, filling my plate with all these cards. I want to make sure that I take the time to really get to know the decks and that I am using them all and striving to maintain that minimalist mindset and lifestyle within my life, so that I'm not just, don't just have decks sitting on the shelf that I never use or that don't resonate with me anymore. So, enough about that. I'm going to transition into some of the questions and the structure that I have for this episode. Otherwise, I could talk forever and ever. So, let's just talk real quick about what is the difference between tarot cards and oracle cards, because this is the number one question that I receive, and I just want to be very clear at the time of this recording, I am not familiar with tarot cards whatsoever. I did a little bit of research, I pulled a bunch of information from Biddy Tarot. I'll have to link her in the show notes, but that's B-I-D as in Daddy, B-I-D-D-Y tarot, biddytarot.com. And I found a lot of information that resonated with me from what she shares about the difference between tarot and oracle. But at this time in my life, I am unfamiliar with tarot. I will admit that I am feeling very drawn towards it. Like, I want to know a little bit more. I've been reading in this research, I found a bit about using both the oracle and the tarot. And the more I'm learning about tarot, I'm like, oh my gosh, I really want to get into that. But I'm also, again, trying not to bite off more than I can chew and just sticking with what is flowing through me in this moment. And right now I feel very, very in tune and in touch with my oracle decks, and that's where I'm at. So tarot cards, and again, this is from Biddy Tarot. Tarot cards come as a traditionally structured deck that are usually about 78 cards. And most decks are of Rider-Waite derivatives, and they share common themes across many different decks, but the images and the pictures, even though the images and the pictures might be completely different, often the messaging behind the cards are the same. So tarot cards have a major arcana and minor arcana, which I don't know what that is. I've had it explained to me. But just in general, again, that structure, they have specific structures of the deck, and they also have specific suits of the cards that never change. And I know that there's the suits of swords, wands, cups, and there's one more that I just don't know off the top of my head. So that just kind of gives you an idea of what tarot is. So I love these little metaphors that Biddy also gave. So tarot is like the ingredients, and oracle cards would be the full meal. So the full meal, nice big filling, and it's great. But what is the full meal? It's a bigger picture, because when you dive into what a meal is composed of, well, it's made up of all these different ingredients. And the ingredients, the specificities, specifics is the tarot. I also liked just a couple more here. If tarot is the page of a book, or even the words on the page of a book, the full chapter of the book would be the oracle. Or you could even say that the oracle is the book and the tarot is a specific chapter. Tarot is really just getting down to very, very specific and nitty gritty, and oracle gives you a general sense of a situation. And so again, it's always going to come back to the reader, the practitioner, the person that is giving the reading, whether it's tarot or oracle. And this is with any practitioner, any healer, any person. It's how much work have they done? How much space are they able to hold for themselves? And how tapped in are they to be able to kind of share these messages and give readings to other people? So it really comes down to the practitioner, the person that is giving the readings, that determines how much somebody will know or not know. It doesn't just depend on the cards, because anybody can read a booklet and draw a card and tell you what it means, but it's really in working with the cards and, again, getting to know the decks and having personal experiences with them that you are able to be like, oh, I am familiar with this card, and let's elaborate more on like what this means, where you might see it in your life, the way these energies show up and play different stories out. So I hope that gives a better sense. If it doesn't, maybe just go and Google it yourself and do your own research, because I do not know any other way to explain it aside from what I just said. Tarot is the getting very specific. Oracle tends to be more of a general sense of a situation. Okay, so what are oracle cards? How do you use them? All these questions that you guys have. What are the processes with them? Do you meditate with them? Do you create mantras? What type of selections are there? Are there rules? Do you just pull cards when it feels right? Do you only pull a single card per day and let it inspire you? All of the questions. All of these are really great questions. So for me, again, oracle cards, and I can only speak from my personal experience, and I've been using them casually on and off for the last 6 years. It's not like I've been in a deep dive practice with them. And I just want to be clear that I have never this is the first year that I've been incorporating them into my work with my clients. And I have actually been feeling called, we'll say, from spirit, from my guides, to be incorporating this into my work. And it is intimidating, but I'm in a space where I'm ready to step up and accept these signs and messages that I feel as though I am getting. And I also know that even just saying that may make people uncomfortable. Like, what do you mean you're getting these signs and these messages? Well, the more you tap in and the more that you learn how to support yourself and you have a meditative practice and all these kinds of things, you just notice that you have these messages that come through and you're just like, I don't really know where that came from, but it vibes and I'm going to go with it. And the more that you show up on this path, the more you can decipher what feels good to go with and what doesn't feel good to go with. So I always welcome you to remain open-minded and to just see what happens. But of course, if I ever talk about anything that does not make you comfortable or you just really don't understand it, I am excited to be at a place in my journey to break this down with you. Let's talk about bridging this gap between what is spiritual and possibly even what is scientific, because I really do feel like it is a broad bridge and everything goes hand in hand. So feel free to write down some questions if something doesn't vibe. And write to me, slide into my DMs, as they say, and let's talk about it. So for me, again, personal experience, guidance cards have become a way for me to really tap into my intuition. And the process with them and how to use them, this is just kind of what was explained to me, is that you have a deck that you feel called to for whatever reason. Maybe it's just one that stands out to you. Maybe it's one you've been seeing a lot and then you finally see it again at this store and you're like, well, this is like the third or fifth time I've seen this deck now. I'm gonna get it. Whatever the reason may be, you get a deck. And when you have this deck, when I say you're starting to get to know it, it's like you're spending time with it. Just as the general idea of being an energetic being, living in an energetic universe, everything is comprised of energy in some way, shape, or form. It's just the idea of putting energy into this deck so that the deck goes from being manufactured in whatever way and created in whatever way that it was, and now it's getting to know your energy so that everything can kind of flow together to magnify and reflect what's going on and help you with the guidance that you're asking for in your life. So when I get a new deck, I like to take the cards out. I spread them out all around. Sometimes I really shuffle them around. I'll go through and I'll hold each card one at a time. And to be honest, I don't usually look at the cards themselves, the face of the cards. I like to let the cards come to me as they come up in my drawings. I don't spend a lot of time going through and being like, oh wow, this is like the whole selection. For me personally, it just has never felt right. I feel like I get too many ideas of like, oh, I wonder if I'm gonna get this card or that card. I like it kind of remaining a mystery. So I might take a general peek a little bit at what some of the cards are, but for the most part, in my personal experience, again, do what vibes with you, I keep the cards face down. And I don't really look at them. I just wait to see what comes up. And I mix them all around. I go through and might touch each card once. Either do the mix around shuffle or sometimes actually shuffling with just like a regular deck of cards with a little bit of a bridge. And then oftentimes I will hold the cards at my heart and just let them sit there for a moment and breathe. And particularly in the beginning, this felt really weird. I'm like, what am I doing? What is this? And you'll have lots of thoughts and feelings, and that's great. That means that you're in a good spot with it, because curiosity starts with skepticism and you got to work through that with yourself. But just sitting there, having the cards on my heart space, breathing in, the number one thing that I ask for from my cards always is guidance. You do not want to get super specific and ask yes or no questions, or you're not asking for a psychic reading about what to do in your life. You are asking for guidance. Asking for guidance on just a specific situation. You can ask for guidance on a specific situation. You can ask for guidance on your path. You can ask for guidance on your struggles right now. And the more that you spend time with your cards and the more you play around with these questions, the more that you'll start to understand more what the cards have to say. And it can be in the beginning that you may get a lot of cards that you're just like, this doesn't resonate, or I don't understand it. And that's what I love too, is a huge part of the journey is the fact that you may not understand. And so it's getting curious. Can you still remain with the card and just sit with it for a few days? Like, what does that mean? And just try to remain open about it and then see what kinds of things come up for you. Maybe it will remain kind of just this hard hitting thing and you're just like, it doesn't make sense. I'm going to go back for another card. And then years later, maybe, or even weeks or months, but for me, it's been like years later, I come back to a card where I suddenly remember like, oh shit, I remember the first time I drew this and I didn't understand a thing you were telling me. And now I see my path and I see that it made sense and I see what you were trying to tell me. But the truth is that just as with the healing journey, the whole unfolding, we're not always in a place where we're ready to hear the messages. We're not ready to grow and we can't always see that. So that's also part of this, is building the trust that we can, the trust that we are on the path no matter what, and that we can never see the big picture. And I think that's been a huge lesson for me in this year of 2019, is the trust, and that we cannot see the big picture, because we live in a society that wants us to be able to see the big picture. Excuse me. We live in a society that wants us to be able to get into the nitty-grits and think that we are seeing the big picture. Like, oh, if we just get in and get really specific with our diet, or we get really specific with our triggers, or we get really specific with our training regime, well, that's why, and we think we have the reasons, like, well, that's why I don't feel good, or that's why this happened. And it's like, okay, yeah, that might be a factor that could play a big role, but ultimately you need to surrender and realize that you can never fully know. And there's both comfort and a lot of discomfort in that. That is a lesson in surrendering, absolutely. Which is what this episode is not about. But oracle cards can help you learn to surrender, can help guide you into just basking in the existence of what is. It's all about accepting what is in our lives, because the realities and the stories that we make up in our heads are often different from the reality and the storyline of what is actually happening in front of us. Accepting what is, that's a huge lesson. And there's books on it. I think Byron Katie writes a really great book on that. So are there rules? Do you just pull the cards when they feel right? Especially with oracle cards, I believe with tarot, I don't know. I can't say anything that I know about tarot. I feel like tarot is a little bit more regimented, but with oracle cards, there are no rules. You can draw just one card. You can do a 3-card draw. Sometimes decks you buy will have specific types of spreads, is what it's called, where you spread out the cards and you can do particular drawings. Some readers have their favorite types of spreads. There's like past, present, future, mind, body, and spirit. There's the path and the obstacle. There's the shadow and the light. So many endless dualities and just energies at play that can come out in a spread. And when I say a spread, that is when you're shuffling the card and you have it out in front of you. A draw and a spread, I guess, is kind of the same thing. You draw the card for the spread, and then you look at the card. So you can, especially if you're getting to know a deck, I highly recommend drawing a card, roughly a card a day, maybe even a card a week. I think that if it feels like it's resonating and it feels like you need some more information, and it's just, you want to sit with that card for a little bit, whether it is or isn't resonating, you just feel like you need more time with the card, then allow yourself that time. You don't necessarily need to draw a new card every day. And strive to get away from the tendency of, I just want to get through the deck. I just want to get to know my deck. It takes time. It takes a lot of time. Like I said, I've been working on and off with my cards for over 6 years, and I'm only just now starting to feel like I am ready to share it with other people. And I have particular decks that I do not share with other people because I'm still getting to know them. And I think that's something else that I want to share is when I first... I think I just remembered the first time I really came across these cards is I was living with a girlfriend of mine, Sarah, in Seattle, and she was living in Africa for like 6 months. We had this sweet deal where we lived in this two-bedroom apartment, and I was at the apartment while she was in Africa. And I can't remember how I came across this deck of cards she had. And I think she may have had tarot, and I remember it may have been tarot, and I remember being very curious about it and very, like, drawn towards it, but I felt, obviously, it's not mine. I felt called to ask her, like, can I, you know, check these out? And she was like, no, actually, like, please don't. They're very special. I really don't want you to touch them, but I would encourage you to go out and find your own. And I just remember that time in my life being so put off, she doesn't want me to touch them, like, it's not that big of a deal, like, it's not like I would ruin them or anything like this, but now I see the deck is so special, and it's your energy, and it's a very relationship that you have with yourself, and of course, you can always do a little clearing and, you know, just like clean the energy from cards and bring them back to yourself. So it's not like somebody else touches them and they're suddenly spoiled and ruined. But if you can protect them as much as possible and just keep that sacred space available with your cards, that is very beautiful and something you should absolutely do. So I have a couple decks that I am not ready to share with people, and other friends that are... Even people that aren't familiar, people understand this. You're like, I'm just not ready to share this yet. Thank you for understanding. And they say, oh, of course. And I will also share that after my friend Sarah was like, please go out. I encourage you to go out and find your own deck. I did. I went out and I bought a tarot deck. And I remember sitting in the bathtub after roller derby practice one night and looking at these tarot cards and trying to read through the booklet. And I just remember it was like a foreign language to me. I was like, I... do not understand these. I just can't read these. I don't get it. And so I did end up returning that deck. And at that time, I didn't get another deck because I don't think I had heard about Oracle cards at that time, or maybe for whatever reason, it just didn't resonate. And then it was later that I found out, well, what are Oracle cards? Oh, they're more of like intuitive type practice. They don't go by a certain set of rules. There's not really much of like a, I mean, of course there's a history, but it's not so, I want to say dogmatic, rule-based, kind of structured is the word, not as structured as tarot. So yeah, that getting your deck, getting to know your deck, taking the time, you can pull one card, you can do your own drawings for yourself, just play around with it. I have started doing more drawings with the moon. That is fun to do a drawing on the full moon, and kind of the full moon is a time where our fears tend to be illuminated, and it can be a time to ask for guidance in our fears. Please bring our, help me face my fears and bring my fears to light. And what can I work through? And you draw a card and you set it on, you know, your altar, your nightstand, your intention table, put it under your pillow, whatever you want. And just keep it with you for the 2 weeks of that full moon as the full moon transitions into the new moon. And then when the new moon comes, it's a great time to set intentions for yourself and really reevaluate where you're at in your life and what you want to focus. And then draw a new card and towards that guidance. And I've only been doing this, honestly, for the last few months, and I'm finding that working through both intentions and fears every 2 weeks, at first I was like, oh, that's way too much, but it actually isn't. For me, it's coming out to be a perfect amount of time where, okay, I had a new moon, because today's the full moon, so I just transitioned out of the new moon into the full moon, and I have been setting intentions about where I'm at, where I want to go, and really focusing on that. And in that, as the dark has transitioned to light, the new moon to the full moon, the dark moon to the light moon, fears have arisen, and I wrote down an entire list of things that I was fearful of this morning. And so it's really been a nice, fun flow with my cards and with myself, and just to see where my intentions and my fears lie. So you can use your cards for that. Again, it's just asking for guidance. It's learning to listen and to trust. And I have no doubt in my mind that if you are tuning in and you are remaining open-minded, that you're going to start seeing the synchronicities. And of course, the synchronicities are, you kind of get to decide, well, what is synchronistic and what isn't. Because, for example, I just moved back to my hometown recently, and I'm living in a place where there are a shit ton of eagles. Like, the eagles, I live next to a river that has a salmon run, and the eagles come and they mate, and they are just, like, all here, and it's like a feeding, mating type season for the eagles. And that's just nature. That's just the way it is. There's, like, you could say there's no coincidence in that. But what is the chance that I'm actually, like, because I've always known that the eagles are there, but to be honest, I've never actually seen them in my life. My friends have told me over the years, like, oh yeah, last year I literally counted like 100 eagles in our backyard. And I've always been blown away by that, but I've never experienced it myself. And so for me, I'm like, what are the chances that I am finally at a place in my life where I truly am focusing on myself? I actually am going through this crazy transformative time, and I just happen to be literally living in the same area where all of these eagles are, where they are literally in my backyard now. And it's just like all these little things and that end up adding up, and you get to decide what is synchronistic and what isn't. But I tell you, the more that you try, the more that you show up and you strive to just be open-minded and to be in these energies and be in the flow of life, you're going to see all these little things come together. And at least for me, over the course of 6 years, there's literally been too many times that I'm just like, yeah, that's just a coincidence. Oh, that's just a coincidence. That's just a coincidence. Eventually I'm like, okay, actually it's not a fucking coincidence anymore. But I feel like that's a very personal path that you have to take, going from skepticism to synchronicity and being in the flow. It's a very personal path that you have to walk, because you have to experience it for yourself. There's no other way that you can become a believer. I don't necessarily love that term either, but hopefully that makes a little bit more sense. So as far as, I did have one question. Where do you buy these cards? How do you know which card to buy? What if you don't have any stores near you that sell them? Like, what should you do? Just set an intention, ask for guidance, put it out into the universe, remain open-minded. And of course, we live in a world now where our devices are listening to us. And if you talk enough about wanting to find decks, yeah, it likely is that those cookies in the devices are going to populate, and you might see more advertisements or accounts that advertise these books or guidance cards and things like that. But just remain open-minded, keep a grain of salt when it comes to technology, and just follow your gut. You can't really go wrong, especially if you're just striving to move forward with curiosity. And I think that's all I'm going to leave you with today. I hope that that has answered some questions, cleared some things up. It's just a topic that I, too, am striving to become more comfortable talking about. And I would love to hear any questions that come up for you. I'm always happy to do a part two. I'm always taking down your questions and making a list of what other episodes I could be creating. So let me know what you think. Take a screenshot of this. Tag me. Post it on Instagram. That really helps my business grow. That really helps me to be able to connect with you and to have more conversation. And you know what I'm all about, that connection and that community. So I'm wishing you well. Thank you for being here. Take care. I just want to take a quick moment to sincerely thank you for tuning in today. It really means the world to me that you are here supporting me, listening to what I have to say, and I sincerely hope that it finds you well and helps you wherever you're at in your life. And if you're ever wondering what other kind of stuff I have to offer you, you can check out my free resources or my paid offerings, both available on my website, www.selfcarecreature.com. And if you're looking for another simple and free way to support my business, because woo, small business, you can simply leave a review for the podcast, or even easier, take a screenshot right now and post it and tag me on Instagram. That is the easiest way, and it just builds community, builds connection. I will be able to see it and connect with you then. Thank you for taking the time to do that. Thanks for being here. Cheers.